Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Only a wise man knows what things really mean. Wisdom makes his face to shine. Well, God had given Solomon wisdom, and yet I think he sort of abuses it a bit. He doesn't use it as he should do. He said earlier in Ecclesiastes that, yeah, I wanted to have wisdom, but it's far from me. In other words, for me personally, I don't really care. But then he starts saying to other people, I've got wisdom, you must respect me. I'm the only one who's really got the truth. And yet his heart was far from God, and now in Ecclesiastes in his old age, Solomon has turned to idols, worshipping his wife's idols. Then he says, do what the king demands you do. Don't make any rash promises to God. The king can do anything he likes, so be careful of him. And don't remain before him for too long. The king acts with power and authority. What he does cannot be challenged. If you obey the king's commandments, you will be safe. If you have wisdom, you will know how to obey him. Well, Solomon was the king, and what he's really saying is, I shall do what I want. You mustn't question me. I always do what is right. So you see where this possession of truth or wisdom had led him. It made him very proud instead of humble. And he hadn't gone through the experiences of his father David. So he didn't have the humility David had, especially after his sin with Bathsheba and murdering Uriah. He didn't have that. And he was just unprepared to accept that he could do anything wrong. And he seems to think that he is the promised son of David, that he is like the Messiah and his kingdom is the kingdom of God. He has no understanding at all, or doesn't want to understand, that the great son of David is going to be Jesus. And Jesus is going to come back and establish his kingdom on the earth. And it won't be Solomon's kingdom, it will be the kingdom of God. And so once you get to the point where you think that whatever you do is right and no one can criticize me, that's when you're really far astray, because you've lost humility, you're not teachable, and you are effectively playing God. None of us knows, he says, what will happen. Nobody can tell us what will happen. Nobody can stop himself dying or delay the day of his death. This is an endless struggle that we can never escape from. Well, again, he's talking without God in the equation, in the whole question. Because although we will die, when he says there's nobody to tell us what's going to happen, well, there is. God tells you what's going to happen. You're going to be unconscious in the grave. You are made of dust and will go back to dust. If he'd have really listened to what God was saying in Genesis, then he would have understood that. And if we are responsible to him, and if we are in covenant with him, we will be resurrected. And we will live forever in God's kingdom. And yet Solomon isn't interested in that. He just says, no, nobody knows. Well, we do know. And yet he didn't want to know. I saw all this when I thought about the things that are done under the sun. It is a world where some people have power, and others have no power and suffer under those who do have power. I've seen the wicked come and be buried in their graves, and yet as people return from having buried them, they praise them in the very town where they did their wickedness. It is all vanity. Why do people sin so easily? Because crime and sin isn't punished very quickly. A sinner can commit 100 sins and still carry on living. They will say, if you obey God, everything will be all right. And it won't go well with the wicked. Their life is just like a shadow and they'll die young. But that is nonsense, Solomon says. Look at what happens under the sun. The good people are punished as if they're wicked, and the wicked people get the reward of the righteous. I say it is all vanity. Well, this is just not true, because in the end, God will punish sin, and the wages of sin is death. And the gift of God is eternal life. And, all right, that doesn't work out in this life because, as he says, we all live and we die. And it is true that some wicked people prosper and some righteous people like Jesus suffer. But when Jesus comes back, there will be a day of judgment. And this was taught in the Old Testament as well. David believed this. But Solomon doesn't. He just talks very rudely about the whole gospel of the kingdom of God. And so he goes on. He says, I'm convinced that a man should just enjoy himself, because the only pleasure he can get in this life is eating and drinking and having a good time. He can do this as he works away during the course of his life, the life that God gave him in this world. So he still sort of believes that there is a God. He's not an atheist, but he doesn't really trust him. He doesn't believe him as a personal God. He just accepts that there is a God who exists. And to say that, well, you might as well just be happy in this life because that's all you got, well, this is not true. The whole message of the kingdom of God is that we can live forever and live life on the highest level. And now, while we really want to serve God and we're frustrated that we can't serve God as we'd like to, well, that's preparing us for the wonder of being in God's kingdom when we can do these things as we would like. He says, whenever I tried to be wise and to understand, I realized that you could work and labor night and day for this, and yet you'll never understand what God is doing, no matter how hard you try. You won't find it out. Even if some people claim to be wise and claim to have understood, they do not. So he's really saying that all his wisdom was pointless, and it's all a waste of time. Well, this is not true. This is the attitude of people who have given up their relationship with God, because he wants it all now. And this is how people are. I want it now. Quick, quick, quick. Right now. The idea of what's called delayed gratification, that is, that I will suffer now, I will save now, so that in the future I can have something really good. That's not what people want to do. They don't even do it in life. And especially when it comes to believing that in this life we are to die, we are to lose, we are to sacrifice, so that when Jesus comes back, we will then live, and then we will get what God has promised. As Paul points out, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, all these men died not having received what had been promised to them, but they knew that they would receive it in the future. And this is what Solomon didn't want to understand, like a lot of people today. They want it all now, and we're not going to get it all now. We've got to wait in faith and in patience, what Paul calls the patient waiting for Christ.